episode 99 of Fly Away, a weekly podcast from Outlander Travel about the thing we love most, travel. Each week, we'll talk about different adventures and vacation options out there, some local, some more exotic. Join us as we chat about our own travels and those of our clients. Hopefully, our talks will help you dream, plan, and get out there. My name is Elizabeth, and this week I am joined by fellow Outlander travel agents Sandy, Lindsay, and Laura. We are also joined this week by our very special friend, George Taylor. If you know George, you know he's very special. George has been a self-professed Disney nerd since long before he started his own website in 2007. He's been writing about Disney and other theme parks at Imagine Nerding since 2007. He is also one half of the awkwardly handsome duo that is Communicore Weekly. We'll leave it up to you to decide which one is awkward and which one is handsome. A podcast that discusses Disney, Disney books, and other theme parks. Recently, George has discovered his passion for roller coasters and has been traveling all over the Southeast and Central United States to experience as many as possible. He just started a YouTube channel and has been sharing his love for Disney, theme parks, and roller coasters. So let's get started with our questions. So George, you recently did something that I believe was called the Roller Coaster Challenge. Is that correct?
Yeah. It's the official preferred social media hashtag was Coaster Crusade. Coaster Crusade. And basically, it was the SeaWorld Parks in Florida invited a bunch of people to come down to experience all 13 roller coasters that are at Busch Gardens Tampa and SeaWorld in Orlando. Because, as they put it, they have the largest collection of roller coasters in Florida.
That's more than I thought. Yeah, 13 is a lot.
Yeah.
Which is quite a bit. And there were two separate groups. One group started at SeaWorld, and the other group, the one I was in, started at Busch Gardens Tampa. And basically, they just invited us to show up at 8 o'clock in the morning, which is pretty darn early. And it's still humid at 8 o'clock in the morning in Florida.
Don't be a whiner.
Oh, my gosh.
Don't be a whiner.
Yeah, no, I can't.
Yeah, what were we doing that day?
And they split us up into groups while we were at the different parks, you know, to attack everything and get all eight in at Busch Gardens Tampa. And they just walked us around from coaster to coaster, let us sit in the front seat. A good friend of mine let me borrow his GoPro and had it strapped to my wrist. I was holding up my wrist so it doesn't work on a podcast. Basically, I got a point of view or POV footage of every roller coaster at Busch Gardens.
So you did get to ride all eight of them?
No, we didn't. They have a brand new one called the Cobra's Curse, which was not functioning, sadly. But I get to ride Air Grover, which was like the best 20 seconds of my life.
Is it really only 20 seconds?
Air Grover, is that the one for seven kids under?
Yes, basically. Little tiny coaster.
That's like the only way you could do that.
But yeah, we got to do Shikra, which is a dive coaster where they hold you over the edge for like 5 seconds and then drop you 91 degrees.
Oh my gosh.
It was incredible. And you got to hit all their classic coasters, Montu, Kumba. I just had a great time. And they gave us free water.
Nice.
That's nice.
This wonderful.
This is a genius marketing thing. I'm liking this. What a good idea. Yeah.
It was a great idea. They served us lunch and took us on a Mir shuttle over to Orlando. And sadly, halfway through the trip to Orlando, it rained.
Because it is summer.
And it rained. So we got to SeaWorld. They brought us inside, gave us free ponchos.
Nice.
Which was great, you know.
And free water and free ponchos.
Yes, free water. Lots of free water.
Yeah, free water falling from
the drain now.
And took us into the, it was my very first time at SeaWorld. I'd never been to SeaWorld before. So I was excited, but they took us into the Arctic Adventure. I can't remember what it was, but it
penguins.
Was
like.
Penguins. The penguins.
No, not the penguins. That would have been awesome. They took us in this very old school simulator, which was like at the same time that the original Star Tours came out. And I basically had to close my eyes. I was like, I'm getting a little nauseated here because things didn't match. But that's okay. We basically sat around for like an hour and I played Pokemon Go and captured a lot of water Pokemon. And they said after about 2 hours, they walked us over to Mako, which I would dying to ride Mako. And they said, oh, it's still lightning. We're just going to take you guys back to Busch Gardens, Tampa. It was very noble. It was very exciting. And the other group, though, that got to go from started SeaWorld and went to Busch Gardens, they got to ride everything.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But that's
even the
okay.
new one, right? They got to ride the new one, too, Mako? At Busch Gardens?
Yeah, they got to ride everything. Wow. So Cobra's Curse, all of them. But, you know, when they were talking to us about all the coasters and you realize, yeah, they've got 13 coasters.
Yeah,
that's across between those two parks is pretty darn amazing.
Yep. And as you just said, it's really not hard to get between the two parks. I mean, it's a bit of a drive, but it's totally doable.
It's a bit of a drive. And I do believe there is a free shuttle. They run from SeaWorld to Busch Gardens and vice versa. So
exactly. And you can buy tickets that include multiple parks. So
I'm not surprised that Tampa, I mean, like the Busch Gardens has a lot of coasters, but I think it might be a little surprising to people that SeaWorld has so many.
They've been building that up, right? So, then if there were eight, let me do my math. There's 13 total.
Five.
Yes, there are five.
That means there's five more. Okay. So,
yeah, Journey to Atlantis at SeaWorld, which is sort of like a hybrid water coaster. Mm-hmm. Like, imagine Splash Mountain, I guess, with a little bit of Expedition Everest combined. Yeah. And so they've got Mako, which is the brand new Bollinger Mabillard hypercoaster, meaning it goes above 200 feet. Oh, and it's the first one in Florida to go above 200 feet. And hypercoasters don't have loops, which is why I like them.
Yeah, that's
lots of air time, so you feel like you're coming out of the seat. So Mako, of course you put me right on the spot and it just went completely out of my brain.
That's the one that goes to the Shark Tank, right?
Mako is the brand new one. That's the shark one. And Montu is at Busch Gardens, Tampa. And see, they can see me, but you can't. In my brain, I'm just going, we didn't get to do them. They do have five coasters there. Kraken's another one.
We've done that. Kraken's the one that we did, Lindsay, remember?
Yeah, Kraken's the one that almost killed me.
Yeah.
So. The one that was showing your Kraken? Yeah, is that what?
Yeah. You've got the coasters at Disney, the Disney parks, and then you've also got coasters at, like, Fun Spot.
What is that?
That's probably Fun not Spot a coaster you want to get on.
Wait a minute. Fun Spot has two coasters.
Up with you.
It's a family entertainment center that's on in Kissimmee.
So
is it a carnival?
Is it like fair rides?
No, not a carnival, but you think it was.
Is it the place with the indoor skydiving too?
I think so. They've got two of them. I keep holding my fingers up and doing gestures.
It's all right. We do it too.
But they've got a fantastic coaster at Fun Spot called White Lightning, which is a wooden coaster by Great Coasters International.
Oh, no.
Which is phenomenal. It's one of the best wooden coasters I've ever been on.
Wooden coasters are awesome. I love wooden coasters.
Wooden coasters are scary.
No, that's what
makes it awesome. Yeah. That rattle.
Okay, so of the coasters that you did get to do that day, most, I guess all of which were at Busch Gardens, right? You didn't get to do a single one at SeaWorld.
Not at all.
Okay.
Not at all.
So out of the eight that you did, which one was the best?
Okay. Well, I think overall the best coaster it's got to be Cheetah Hunt, which simulates, and it's the very first roller coaster I've been on that actually tells a story. Expedition Everest tells a little bit of a story, but this one puts you in the feel of a cheetah. And there are parts where you feel like, yes, you just ran up a tree, you're going down a tree, you're chasing other people. It's an intimate coaster, meaning it gets a little shaky and a little jerky, not as smooth as some of my other favorite coasters, but that's probably my favorite.
Are you sitting, standing, on your back?
I'm sitting on
Cheetah.
Cheetah Hunt, you're sitting. Cheetah Hunt is sitting in a traditional roller coaster cab. So to speak, like the cockpit.
You have to ask nowadays because it's a traditional.
Yes, you do. It's more of a traditional coaster. And the newer ones, the Bollinger Mabillard, the B&M Hyper coasters. Gosh,
You're throwing around a lot of techno babble there.
Yeah, I got to watch my jargon. They're just a coaster manufacturer that makes a hyper coaster, which basically you sit in a seat. You have a seat belt and you've got a V that sort of comes up between your legs around your waist. And that's all that holds you in.
There's nothing over your shoulders?
There are no over-the-shoulder restraints whatsoever. And it is terrifying the first time you do it. But after that, you're like, you get so much air time. It's wonderful.
Nope.
Well, yeah, that's a big old capital note. Yeah.
But there are no loops.
There better not be.
Yeah, really.
Lots of air time.
That changes
out of the
up
seat
the restraints.
Air time.
Yeah. Out of the seat air time.
Learn to fly. Air time.
George, have you ever?
Have
you ever been to Kennywood in Pittsburgh?
Oh my God!
No, that's on my trip for next year.
That I'm telling you, you want to talk about the wooden? They make fun of me because I always try to slip in Pittsburgh, but I gotta say, that is such a cool park because it's so old and it's got really historic elements. But the wooden roller coasters, yeah, they blow everybody away. They're so awesome. There's three really good ones that are still left there, and one of them, the Jackrabbit, has a double dip, and you want to talk about coming out of your seat. And they let three-year-olds ride that.
I think the Jackrabbit's like 1920s.
Yeah.
Started sending you gifts yet?
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody in Pittsburgh said.
No, it is.
It's just she booked to Pittsburgh.
Yeah. That's, you know what? Zero. Zero. Oh, okay. Exactly. As an agency, we've sold exactly zero trips to Pittsburgh.
Okay. You know, this year my big coaster trip was Kings Island, Santa Claus Land, Kentucky Kingdom, and Cedar Point. And next year it will be the parks up in Kentucky. Dorney Park, Hershey Park.
Do you mean Pennsylvania?
Yeah, Pennsylvania. What did I say?
You said Kentucky. I was like, well, where are
well,
you?
I'm sorry. No, my big trip will be in Pennsylvania. Yes.
Okay. Well, then you got to go to Kennywood, you know.
Yes, I mean, I will.
Yeah. Have you seen those extreme coaster programs? On? Yeah. So then, is that your checklist? Do you just.
Yeah, basically. Basically. It's there's no coaster I'm afraid to ride whatsoever. I'll go on anything. I may not ride it a second time because it hurts or it's uncomfortable or it just wasn't worth it. But, you know, I'll ride just about anything.
So, well, I live in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So if you need a coaster friend, I'm all with you.
Oh, fantastic. Fantastic. Because yeah. That way, yeah, that'll be a fun trip. Just me going up by myself, riding, videoing and doing.
That's
so you're doing what? You're doing Hershey?
Yeah, Hershey, Dorney, Kennywood. And there's another one of Nobles.
Okay.
Oh, that's the old timey.
Yeah, it's old timey one.
Old timey park. Yeah, well, yeah, Hershey and Nobles are real near to me.
Yeah, so and I may sneak up to Cedar Point as well, since they lost power while I was there this year. I only got 10 of the 17, and 7 of the 17 coasters.
Oh, so you're missing 10? Oh, wow.
I'm missing 10 of them. That's a missing lot. 10 of them. That's a lot.
Yeah, that's an insane amount of coasters, actually.
So,
yeah.
Do you eat while you're in the parks?
Why, yes, I do.
Three goes on.
Yes. And you ride all the coasters?
But I know my body. I know what agrees with me and what doesn't agree with me. The roller coasters that hang, there's two different types. The ones that are underneath, it's either an inverted or a suspended. And a suspended coaster basically means it's like a roller coaster car hanging from underneath. So it's like you're sitting in a roller coaster car.
But you don't have anything underneath your feet?
You do. You do. Oh. Like you're sitting in a regular roller coaster car.
Oh, okay.
With a pole, like the Bad or the Big Bad Wolf, if you remember those. And an inverted coaster is like where you're sort of sitting in a chair and your feet are dangling.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
are those the ones that don't agree with you?
Those don't agree with me, but I still ride them. But it's like, I know 20 minutes afterwards, I'm not going to be good.
Take one for the team.
Yeah. Like the dragon coasters at Universal and Alpengeist at Busch Gardens, a little too much for me.
Those dragon coasters at Universal, I can't do it anymore. I could barely do it when I was younger. And now.
Is that the one that's in the Harry Potter section?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. But dueling dragons.
Yeah. But it was there before.
Harry Potter. Yeah, I did it. The Fire and Ice or whatever it was before, mm-hmm. It was Harry Potter. Yeah. But now, yeah, I agree with you. The older I get, the less I can't take them.
Yeah, I think it's squishing my brain. I'm not totally sure about that. But yeah, I know with that, I'll either eat well before or well after. I've had that.
Once the stomach settles again. Yeah. So then what are the coasters that agree with you most? You said you don't like loops.
No, I don't mind loops. I don't mind loops, but it can't be. Okay. So hopefully Elizabeth knows this, but the first steel tubular roller coaster ever built.
Is that Carolina?
No, Disneyland.
Oh, is it? Oh, it's the one at Disneyland?
Yeah, Matterhorn.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Yeah.
Arrow Development built that in almost all the cars. So Arrow built like the Carolina Cyclone at Carowinds. They're the old steel coasters. I will ride them for the credit. But not after that. They have really tight curves, and they just don't agree with me. I'm too tall for them. Head knocks around.
Yeah, that's a problem for me too.
Matterhorn's scary. Yeah. Like I've been stuck on that ride at the tippy top.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah, I know.
Evacuate.
Yeah, you should. If you, you, wait, you haven't done a show about being evacuated, have you?
No.
Oh, see, I'd love that. I'd love that. So.
I don't know that we have. So, Lindsay, you've been evacuated once, right?
Oh, from Matterhorn? I've been evacuated like seven, but somewhere between 7 and 12 times from different rides, but that's the most traumatic one, is the Matterhorn.
I can't believe you've been evacuated.
I'm not riding with you, Lindsay.
Yeah, really? I have never been evacuated.
There was one day at Disneyland where I was with my husband, and this is, you guys are going to laugh at this because, you know, I go all the time without him, and then I rarely ever get to take him with. And so, of course, the first time we were there together, every single ride, we'd get in line and we'd stand in line and we'd get all the way to the front, and then, like, even Pinocchio shut down. It would either shut down while we were on it or it shut down right before we got on Pirates.
Yeah, right. So never travel with Lindsay.
Is that the travel tip?
Nobody else has ever had a problem. It's just
Yeah.
Well, I got evacuated from the Wedway People Mover. I mean, from the Tomorrowland Transit Authority, basically.
No way.
Which was fun.
I imagine that wasn't very difficult.
No.
My favorite one stare. Evacuated from Haunted Mansion.
Ooh.
That would be fun.
That's the best one. That'd I got a long walk through. And I was so slow.
Not on purpose. No, not at all. But
so back to the original question, yes. George. So then it's the hang time that you like? Is that the biggest?
I like air time, but my favorite coasters are the hyper coasters or the giga coasters. And that just means the hyper goes above 200 feet and the giga goes 300 feet, like Fury 325 at Carowinds is a fantastic giga coaster because it goes over 300 feet and it's powerful. I rode it 3 times this past Sunday.
So for you, it's about height, not necessarily speed.
Well, no. Right? Speed isn't as important either. And it's more the, it's more the structure or the framework, I guess, of the coaster or the elements. That's a much better term, the elements. I know I like heartline rolls and a heartline roll. And for those of you at home that can't see my fingers, it's basically when you're on a track and it sort of takes you upside down and flips you up and down as you go.
Like in Rock and Roller Coaster.
Like in Rock and Roller Coaster, yes.
Corkscrew,
but,
yeah.
But you don't have those on hyper and giga coasters. You have those on inverted coasters because you have to have the over the shoulder restraints or you're going to fly out pretty much. But yeah, my favorites are the hyper because they give you lots of air times or lots of hills. They'll have banks and you feel that coming out of your seat feeling. The air time is what it's called.
So are you a fan of Rip Ride Rocket?
Which one?
Rip Ride Rocket at Universal?
No. Oh, that one just, it beat me to death.
It does beat you up a lot.
It beats you up. It's not been maintained. And that's the thing. You got to have a coaster that has to be maintained. And it has to be well taken care of and loved. But I've heard people, I was in the middle of Rip Ride Rocket and I know people that rode it in the front and loved it. That I respect their opinion. So I think I may have just had a bad seat. Which happens.
I feel like Space Mountain is like that. Like the further you are to the front, the less you get jerked around.
Yeah. The back is really good for being pulled. Of course, in the front, you're pushed. If you're ever unsure about a coaster, wait on the front seat because you're going to get the smoothest, the best ride in those.
So the opposite effect of what you're talking about, I think, is kind of what I like, but I don't know what it's called. Like when you go backwards in Everest. You get that feeling in your stomach. Is that a G-force?
It's hitting. Lateral would be side to side, like on Big Thunder Mountain Railroad or the Primeval Whirl. You get a lot of those laterals on a mouse coaster where you're just jerked sideways, basically.
Where you squishing the person.
Yeah, where you
squishing the person next to you. It's the date coaster.
I'm actually still bad on that one because I'm always on with someone half my size.
That's what I was just thinking.
Have kid, yeah. Yeah. Squishing your kid.
Yeah.
I've had a hard time with Mater's Jamboree with something.
Their Scrambler ride, definitely. Yeah, I love those. But yeah, I've been... there are only 3 wing coasters in the United States, and I've ridden all 3 of them. And the wing coasters, basically, you're sitting in a seat that extends over the track, sort of. So you've got the single track, and you've got 2 riders on each side of the track with nothing underneath them, barely anything over top of them.
It's called a wing coaster. Are you sitting or are you laying down?
You're sitting.
Okay.
Laying down would be a flying coaster.
Oh, okay.
Like Nighthawk, Superman, those things. Yeah. But I've ridden the one at Dollywood, at Kentucky Kingdom, and at Cedar Point, and they're all spectacular rides. Completely different. in each one. So there's as many different people, there are different coasters as well.
Got to try them all.
Yeah, I do. I do.
Do you have an all-time favorite?
That's a good question, because any good coaster enthusiast will tell you it depends on the day. You know, it depends on how my head's feeling, how my back's feeling.
Yeah.
But that's a tough one, because Intimidator at Carowinds is an incredible hyper coaster. A lot of speed, a lot of air time, but not a lot of the being pushed into the back of your seat. And Wild Eagle at Dollywood is a wing coaster that's powerful, and just it makes you feel like you're flying, which is wonderful. And I think, but you know, Goliath at Six Flags Over Georgia is another hyper coaster without a lot of extremes, which is why I like it. It has all the elements I like, and it's just a lot of fun to go on it. And you get the big lift hills, you get the steep drops, and you get the camel humps, which are those really quick bumps that make you feel like you're flying out. So yeah, it's like it's. So I could give you like a top five, but it's like my kids.
So did
the only one I like best is the one I'm not feeding at the moment.
So you mentioned the Six Flags in Georgia. Is that the one in Atlanta?
That's one in Atlanta.
So do they still have that coaster called the Z-Force?
Unless they've renamed it, no, and I don't think they have.
It was the most horrible roller coaster. It was like you went a little ways, and then you jerked back the other way, and then you jerked back. It was like a Z all the way down.
Okay, that's a mouse coaster.
Oh, my God.
Yes,
it wasn't like a regular mouse, because you didn't – all you did was jerk back and forth. There were no, hills or anything.
Oh, okay, so they didn't – yeah, that's weird.
In my 20s, you know what? I actually think someone broke their neck on it.
I'm writing this one down now.
Yeah, look at it. It was called the Z-Force. I do think someone died. I think their neck broke. But I was in my 20s, and it made me feel like I got beat up. It was – horrible.
well, Space Mountain at Magic Kingdom still makes me feel like I get beat up sometimes.
Yeah, that's why I like to sit in the front.
Space Mountain actually terrified my father when I went my first trip to Disney World in 1977. Mm-hmm. I was 6 years old, or just about to turn 6 years old.
See, now we all know how old you are.
Yes, that's fine. I couldn't. Oh, okay. I wear it. I couldn't ride it because I was six. And I wanted to, but I'd never ridden a coaster before. So of course my parents were like, you don't really want to ride. You don't know what you're in for. My dad and my uncle rode Space Mountain together. And my father almost lost his glasses. He had to go back. They like fell off. He was visibly, and my dad was like most dads. You don't ever see your dad scared, right? Your dad is always, he was terrified. He was white as a sheet when he came back.
See, my dad was the opposite. He took us to Kennywood. It was like a rite of passage. Every year, you were a little bit taller. So the 3 years old, you could ride the Jackrabbit. Then the next year, you could ride the Racer. And then when you graduated up to the Thunderbolt, it was like you arrived. So, So I grew up, and then I put my kids on the Jackrabbit, and now they all hate roller coasters. So.
Elizabeth, you mentioned the glasses coming off. I know the viewers at home, the listeners, can't see this, but I take my glasses strap with me. It's a little neoprene strap, and wear it the whole day. I don't care what I look like. I'm there to ride the coasters.
And you need your glasses.
Yeah. And I need my glasses.
Have you ever almost lost them? Have they flown off on a coaster?
No, not at all. Okay. Not at all.
So but the strap I'm just is
too
just,
afraid.
Yeah,
interesting. Yeah, if I'm up in Ohio by myself and I lose my glasses, I can't drive home. What am I going to do?
I lived in North Carolina until March of this year. And with my stepsons, it was always their ball hats.
We had
several ball hats sacrificed to the to the roller coasters.
I don't know why people think their hats will stay on. And even my daughter, like I think in February, she was wearing this hat that she loved that she got on her Washington D.C. trip. That's in Washington D.C. It's ball cap, and we went down Splash Mountain, and that bad boy flew off her head, hit my husband smack in the face, and then went off into nowhere land, wherever all the hats go to die. He was too busy being injured by it.
Was that perfect timing for the picture?
No, sadly it wasn't.
I bet
there's a black market somewhere of all the hats that have come off of coasters.
In the cast member store, there's like...
Yes.
Well, they probably do indentures and cell phones.
Oh, God.
I had another friend who was at SeaWorld a couple weekends ago, and he had posted on Facebook, he almost got beamed in the head by a cell phone from Mako.
Oh my God.
Somebody had their cell phone on it, and it hit the ground and exploded, basically, but almost hit him in the head.
Wow.
So be careful.
Yeah.
careful. But when I go to the parks, I travel light. I've got my iPhone, a backup battery charger, my camera, which fits in my pocket. It's a little nice point and shoot Sony. my glasses strap and a ball cap, which fits in my pocket as well. So, you know, I travel as light as I can.
And sunscreen.
I put it on it. Yes.
So, okay. So we've talked a lot about Disney, and I am curious how a huge Disney fan, because that's really all you did for many years was Disney. Totally. And now you're into coasters, which Disney's really not known. I mean, they have a few thrill rides. So how did that transition happen? What sort of awakened you to your love of coasters?
Yeah, well, big Disney fan, like you mentioned, always loved it, really liked the history of it. And nothing compares to a Disney theme park, period, hands down. If you go to Carowinds or Six Flags or King's Island or King's Dominion, you're experiencing a thrill park, basically. These are parks set up for, you know, going to ride the coasters and not really paying attention to the theming. And that was always what, you know, Elizabeth can probably confirm this. I always poo-poo the other parks and go, I'm not going to go to Carowinds. They have nothing on the Magic Kingdom. But you know, when I go to the Magic Kingdom, it's because I want to be immersed in a story. And I want to have those themes. What year is this? 2016? Okay. Yep. So last year I had my first annual pass to Carowinds, went a handful of times, took my family to Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and thought about what they had and the coasters and started looking up statistics on them to see who made them, why I like this, why did this coaster make me feel this way and this coaster made me feel sick? What happened? And then just started realizing I'm within a 4-hour drive of all of these parks. Why not? And it was also a little bit different. On Communicore Weekly, we're, you know, in our fifth season, and we've done a lot of history of the Disney theme parks. And it kind of got to be, well, let's look at some different things. So we do the history of the other parks and just found it fascinating. And there's a subculture of Disney nerds, you know, in the Disney community. And if you look at the coaster community, for lack of a better term, there is a even nichier, a smaller niche of coaster nerds that can tell you every little thing about it. And it was fascinating to me to meet these people. And I know you can't see it. I'm opening up my phone. I know this is not visual aid time, but,
but it is anyway.
I carry with me, I'm a card-carrying member of ACE, which is the American Coaster Enthusiast nonprofit organization. And basically their job is to sort of like promote roller coasters and roller coaster history. They produce a fantastic magazine. I'm not getting paid for this. I just love them. They're fantastic. it just met a whole other group of people that really enjoy roller coasters and the experience. And it's fun to challenge myself and think about the coaster afterwards and what I really liked about it. Of course, nobody in my family likes roller coasters, so that makes it a little bit difficult.
So what I'm getting out of all this, George, is you're a nerd.
Yeah. I am very excited to hear about your trip to Kennywood because someone else can back me up on this, you know?
I believe Kennywood is fantastic. I just, you know, we're not selling any tickets. So I have a closing question for you. All of us are about to go to San Diego for a conference. And I know your partner in crime is out in Southern California from Communicore Weekly. I know you haven't been out there to ride coasters yet, but you probably have some nerdy knowledge. So if we wanted to ride the best roller coasters in Southern California, and we're in San Diego, we don't want to go too far. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts?
You're going to have to go to Magic Mountain, which is probably way too far north for you guys.
Okay.
It's past north of LA a little
bit. I've driven past it on our way to Yosemite.
Yeah, that's way too far. Because once you get outside of Disneyland, you know, and, you know,
I
became
never be able to make it past Disneyland. Never.
Is there anything north of Disneyland?
If you sat me down and say, would you rather go to the Magic Kingdom or would you rather go to Six Flags or would you rather go to King's Dominion? I'm almost going to pick the Magic Kingdom. It's spectacular. It's wonderful. It's what we all live for. And I'm not avoiding your question. I'm just really trying to think of if there's a Great America there's not a Six Flags in San Diego.
There's a Knott's Berry Farm.
Knott's Berry Farm, but that's right there. And Knott's Berry Farm has, Knott's Berry Farm, I tell you to go ride the Calico Mine Train and the Log Flume because they both predate, you know, Big Thunder and Splash Mountain. That's where Tony Baxter got a lot of his, you know, feelings for. So I think Knott's Berry Farm is a great park because you walk into it and you go, oh my gosh, is it a theme park? It's a thrill park because right in the middle of the old West town, there's giant red roller coaster supports. And you're like, what happened here?
Yeah.
But different owners took over the park and wanted to make it a thrill park. But yeah, I think I would, if you can't make it to Magic Mountain, because they've got 18 coasters, which is amazing. Oh,
that is a lot.
Including a virtual reality coaster, which I did ride one last year at IAPA. It was really, really good. Knott's Berry Farm is great because they've got Accelerator. They've got a B&M inverted coaster. They've got a great wooden coaster that they've just refurbed. So yeah, they've got some good coasters there. I think it'd be a good choice for you guys to go.
Back over to this side, did you hear that Some of All Thrills is going away?
Yes, I did.
Virtual? Yeah.
So
that's sad.
That made a lot of people barf, that one.
That didn't make me barf. If it's still there in November, I'm going to ride it again.
For our listeners who have no idea what we're talking about, Some of All Thrills was a virtual coaster, like a create your own. Or is. It's still there.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's going away.
At
Disney World.
Speed and now that I know what I like in a coaster, I'm wondering, would I have designed something different from back then?
Yeah.
So I probably would have. I'd like to try that. I'll be down there in November for IAPA, the theme park conference. So if I can find a free ticket to Epcot, I might go.
There might be one lying around somewhere. Yeah, right. good luck with that.
Just right outside the gate.
Just find one lying around.
Yeah. I mean, back in the old days of Fast Passes, if you were standing around, sometimes somebody would hand you a Fast Pass. Maybe that's what will happen at Epcot. We're not going to use this ticket. Do you need it?
Here's my magic band. Would you like it?
Yeah, would you like it?
That's what I love about the Fast Passes still at Disneyland is I miss that getting to give someone a little bit of pixie dust in their day if you're not going to use something.
Due to your own poor planning or being too old and tired. I did it too all the time. I was like, I can't.
I'm worn out. Or you think you can do more? You think you have more energy than you actually really do?
Or time, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I make plans for a 15-year-old and I'm really
not 15.
Like, of course I'm going to want to be in the park at 11:30 p.m.
We're going to be here until 3 a.m.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing at all. And I know, Elizabeth, you can use this as a soundbite if you want to. And no one from Outlander Travel has paid me to say this, but I always recommend a travel agency.
Yay.
A good travel agency when you're traveling somewhere like a Disney park, because I've had friends that have gone down by themselves or they've booked with a non-attentive agency and they've had a disaster of a trip. You really want somebody that can plan it for you and take care of all the details. And I tried to speak slowly so you could edit that, Elizabeth.
Thanks. Yeah, I don't edit it, but Heidi, you can pull that out and we can use it again.
Just use it as a soundbite.
Pull it out to use it again. Yes. That's what I meant. Like, on its own. No, thank you, George. I appreciate that. And I do know.
That can't be your ringtone?
Yeah.
Use a travel agent.
Like your goal in life is to be my ringtone, isn't it?
We can take what you just said and put it over where Sandy was talking about Pittsburgh.
See, I mean, you could book through Outlander Travel. You guys can book hotels for somebody to go up to Pennsylvania, and Sandy can give them tips.
The minute I get a referral for Pittsburgh, I am sending it right.
We need almost some type of sound, like some sound that we musical sound in the background we play with Elizabeth saying, "No, Sandy." just
if only my eye roll were visible.
Like a dog. Bad Sandy.
I totally could have talked about the Hard Rock theme park in Myrtle Beach
going to.
Yeah, they just sold that coaster. That coaster sat there for, do you know about this, George?
We need to talk about that too.
No, not right now though.
A friend of mine gave me all of these in like four times as many stacks of Roller Coaster Magazine.
Wow.
There's a Roller Coaster Magazine. So I've got lots of reading material.
Who knew? Wow. All right. Well, that is our show for this week. We welcome your comments and feedback on this episode or any episode, really. To leave comments, visit us at outlandertravel.com. Then click on podcast at the top of the page and find the episode you wish to comment on. Or you can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/outlanderpodcast. Or finally, you can email us at info@outlandertravel.com. We would love to hear from you. Special thanks to George for George the Nerd for joining us. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And on behalf of Sandy, Lindsay, Laura, and myself, Elizabeth, thank you for joining us here at Outlander Travel, and we'll see you next week. Gotta fly.